are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, we have some problems with our sound, I think. Okay, hi, Stephanie. Everything's perfect?
We are awesome.
We are awesome. Okay, Accent On LA. Right now we have 6:01, and I cannot believe our studio is the most amazing looking place in the world. Because why? Because we have an artist with us. Artists that speak to imagination. Artist who is a very, very, very known and just mystic. And I hear, do we have somebody calling us already? Is this Dr. DJ Verrett who will join us?
It is. Oh, how are you, Alona?
Oh, fine. Dr. DJ, we are so happy to have you because I'm just introducing our guest. Then maybe I will start from introduction. Okay. From my left, because obviously we are starting always from our ladies. We have Stephanie Mack, like I always say, she's our sound engineer, my brain when it comes to English words when I forget one, and she's just the youngest in the group, but oh my gosh, her brain, I'm just learning so much every day from her. And thank you for being on Accent On with us, always.
Always.
Okay, I love you, Stephanie. And then I have my new friend, I met you not long ago. Come on, Barbara, you tell me your name, Barbara Hollander, yes?
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Alona, and you are awesome.
Oh, I love you, and
I
she... she's from New York, then obviously she has an accent, not maybe accent like mine, but yes, she has an accent. And Stephanie's from New York also, yes?
From New York State, yes.
Oh gosh, ladies. And now, Ilona Europa, originally from Poland, I have Dr. DJ Verrett from Dallas. Dallas accent, hello, doctor.
Originally from South Louisiana, so...
I will never learn it.
Slight accent at some point, but not usually.
Okay, we accept that. And then we have a really, really very amazing and very important gentleman. His name is Ed Nader. This is the right pronunciation of your name? Could you tell me?
Yes, Nader. Ed Nader.
Nader, because right. I like to put accent on the wrong syllables,
That's fine.
The Nader. Okay, and he is the manager for our guest. Okay, guest, Davood Rosati. Is this how we pronounce it well, your name? Could you tell me in your way?
Yes, Davood Rustai.
Rustai. Davood, everybody repeats, Davood Rustai. Are you going by two names or you'd like people to call you Davood only?
Yeah, my friend say Davood, but some people say Rustai.
Obvious, I have amazing proof that you are going by two names, but because I know so many of your friends and everybody calls you Davood, 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 and you know, in my head, you will be Davood forever, and I want to feel like I will be your friend forever, too.
Absolutely. Okay.
And obvious, we will be talking to you about way how you paint, about who you are, about style that you are painting, and about books that were written about you, about your past, about your future, and about what is the most important for you, what message you want to send to the universe by your paintings, yes?
Yes.
And that's what we'll do. Okay, but one thing that I need to tell to all our listeners, we do not have today John Johnson with us. I will miss you, John, so much. I know you couldn't call in. You do not feel well today, but I know next week you'll be with us. And you know what? I have a small surprise. No Firefly today because John has trouble a little bit to speak. He's a little, like I say, feeling not well. But he wrote this amazing short Firefly on Accent On that I would like to read, okay? There will always be a reason why you meet people. Either you need them to change your life or you are the one that will change theirs. Is this not true? Oh, my gosh. John, you are the one who, in two sentences, you can tell us the truth. It's true. Today we have amazing people in the studio, and I hope we will all change our lives forever, hopefully for better. Okay, let's start maybe from the song which I would like to dedicate to Davood. And the song is sung by me. A little bit funky, but it's true. I also, outside of pop music, rock music, and dance music, I'm writing unusual music that is more visual. And I think music and paintings has a lot together, you know, to tell us together. Then let's think what this type of music brings us to our ways of thinking, what art could be and what culture is about. By Ilona Europa. Especially for you.
Thank
we have
you
video
so
for
much.
That, but I think it's something maybe that you recognize the pulse, the beat, heartbeat. Nice to have you with
much.
Us today.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ilona.
Oh, okay. How we will start? I know you have so much to tell us about your art, about your past. Okay, but tell me how all this came about to what you are today, the very, very known painter. When did you start painting? And when did you discover that that's what you want to do?
I think before that I born in this world, the energy of universe want that I do something special for human beings. I paint everything from the bottom of my heart, and only my goal is bringing, make the bridge between the heart from all the different nations, different colors, different cultures, and my message is peace and love. And I think the human beings must learn from other perspective, look at everything in this world. We need safe world. We need better world for future, for our earth angels, the children's. And I remember before that I start the school, I can't paint. I can't paint. I don't know. This is what the God give me. And I give that to all the people in this world.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I think people right now understand, and they little bit understand what we are going Who we have in the studio, I cannot say, you are very, very unusual man. First, you know, I know that you are not from this country, we'll explain your roots. But second, when I look at you, you're really beautiful man, very unusual. Your clothings are gorgeous. They become you. You have this ways of putting yourself in a perspective that when you come to the room, we know you are somebody special, that you have something that you bring into the room of the mood, your face, your eye, way how you look at people, and obvious way how you speak to the people. This is not an act. Davood speaks like that. He really speaks through the soul. He really speaks through his vision and his art. Oh my gosh. You really, when you look at the book, which we'll be talking a little bit later, you know, you have so many expressions. And I know that you really paint in a style of crypto-realism. This is maybe something that nobody heard before. Crypto-realism. Can you explain us when did you feel that this is the time to call, that you are one of the painters from this style? When did you decide, yes, that's me?
One of the greatest artists that I love him from my heart, that was Salvador Dali. He was friend of my friend and my mentor, Dr. Professor Hans Theodor Fleming. Fleming, 4 years ago, he passed away. He was first art historian that in the time that nobody knows about the greatest Andy Warhol, he met Andy Warhol and he wrote the first monography and catalog text about him. He wrote the first book about David Hockney. He was many years with Picasso together.
Oh.
And
how old was he when he died? You said 2 years ago. How old was he?
91.
91. Oh, yeah. My gosh. He had a chance to really meet the best of the most amazing painters and artists, Andy Warhol. This is what Hollywood is about. Really, you know, this pop culture, you know, we just love everything.
Absolutely.
What he did. But you said Salvador Dali. Yes. That's why.
Okay.
We all. Yes.
When Salvador Dali passed away, many weeks and months, I cry and I think our world without the greatest Salvador Dali, then
it's nothing anymore.
Yeah, it's empty. And I remember, so 2 years I cannot paint.
Oh.
I was one night in Germany, the city, Hamburg city, I was in a dorm of a student, and one night, maybe 2 o'clock in morning, the student dorm was in the beautiful big park. The name was Eichstall Park. And I go to this park and I look at the beautiful moon. I look at the water there. I look at the trees. And I feel that I can speak with the universe. And then I come in my little room and I started to do something. I remember that one of the greatest poetry of Federico Garcia Lorca was in my soul. I speaking with Lorca, and because I love him, and I remember that I thinking about Vincent van Gogh and all his problem, and because he was alone, nobody understand him. He was not in his time. He was in future. His love, his life was in future. And then I think I paint something for Vincent van Gogh, something for Federico Garcia Lorca.
Just mix the styles, everything what was in your soul. This starts screaming
and
at you.
Luna,
this is the moment.
Yes, and I think I make music, symphony for them. And then I see my hands are in color, and I paint with my finger. I was in Germany, and and then my yellow color was finished, And I need this color in this moment because I paint big arena, the fight in this world. And I want to tell the people we must love each other. We must be all together with each other. We are all one family in this world. And then I see, my hands are in color and I paint. And this painting was new for me because I know all the art history. I put all the different perspectives in unity and create the world of infinite perspective, world of multiple perspectivism, because I want all the human beings understand each other and see the different perspectives for peace, for love, for unity.
That's so beautiful description, because the moment that defined you in a way and created the style that you feel very comfortable, and you are part of the style, if not you are the king of the style, okay? And you said that in the moment when one of your friends died, you had 2 years of breakdown.
Yeah,
you
for Salvador
couldn't,
Dali.
Yeah, you yeah. could not anymore think what is left for you to do, because if your hero is dead, you think, what is left? You know, this is the same like we were talking about Frédéric Chopin, which
yes.
you obviously love, you know, and this is a Polish composer that I was raised listening to his music, and I finished music academy, obviously, you know, many, many years of studying music. And we understand that art is everything. Art
Absolutely.
Is music, art is a painting, art is a dance, but what we see in 2013 is lack of it.
Absolutely.
I think, and I know we need to come back to the past, because you came from Iran, yes?
Yes.
You were born in Iran,
South Iran, in
South
Abadan.
Iran. How old you were when you moved to Germany? You moved to Germany when you were a teenager, or you were
I was 21.
You were 21, and you said that, was this your choice to pick Europe, Germany, to be there, live there? Was this your choice? Or was this escape? Was this to look for something that only Europe can offer to you? Why Europe? Why Germany?
In Iran, you know, this know. Regime in Iran is so fundamentalistic and cannot understand about love and peace and something like that. In Iran, I was 2 years in jail, politician jail, because I paint for people, I paint for love, I paint for unity, I paint for freedom.
And they are against that.
And they put me 2 years in jail. After that, they put me in exile. I was in one city. And every day I must be in police station. And then after that, I was 4 months there. Then I moved to Europe. And I started from nothing, you know.
Of course.
But I was free. My mind was free. I can paint. I can talk bottom of my heart. And
you spent 20 years in Germany, yes?
Absolutely.
Did you have a chance to travel all around?
Yes.
France, everything, Italy, you saw,
yes.
you just saw the bestest, you know, paintings, life, you had the chance to really
yes.
breathe the, you know, everybody's art, you know? Okay.
And more that I visit different cultures in different countries, then more I understand we are all one, and we are same, we are all one family. We must understand each other. We must love each other. We must not hate each other. We must not fight with each other. Because we are all one. We are mirror of each other.
Absolutely. You know, I have no so deep and tragic memories, but obviously in 1980s we had an issue with solidarity, and we of course escaped from a regime, you know, and Poland became, and Europe became the free, Eastern Europe became the free country. And you know, I remember time that in my stores was only vinegar on the shelves, was nothing. We had little tiny little piece of papers with, you know, you can buy a little bit butter, a little bit bread, and like few weeks before, the country was blossoming, we thought, and was normal middle Europe country. And the next 2 weeks later, we had the Solidarity War. We had Lech Wałęsa speaking freedom, the simple man who just came out, you know, of just factory and just was talking to whole nations and then scoop, you know, Eastern Europeans' hearts and brains, and the change happened. Yeah. Okay, and now we have free Eastern Europe mixed with Europe. I know that people like you who just escape and have a chance to just get into countries who breathe freely, they can really mix all these feelings, the pain that you have in you, the understanding that what we have in America, what we have in Western culture is the freedom of being who you want to be and freedom of being an artist that you can become. And you said 20 years in Germany, and then you decided to move to America. Yes. You are here for 9 years right now, yes? Was this hard for you to leave behind Germany? It seems like the most, like almost mother for you, because you gave birth to the style, to your emotions, to who you become. I'm sure you were there successful in the end of leaving Germany. You already had wonderful things going on for you. Now you came to America and you have this amazing gentleman with you on your side, your friend Ed, who is your manager. And he's your friend for how many years? How many years right now?
For always.
Forever, for always. Ever, okay, always. Then he was with you. He's your believer. He's your mother, father. He's your brain. He's your strength. And he's the friend, because you speak so beautifully about how you important for you is through the painting to make people understand that you are talking about love, friendships, universe, that we become one. Yes? Okay, Ed, you need to tell us something. Tell us who is Davood for you and how you describe his personality, his heart, his art?
Well, actually, I feel that he is my brother. I love him much more than my own brothers. And the way which I look at him, I look at him as a messenger of God. And I do believe on him, because everything which he does and he do, it is for the people. I don't know, probably you know it or not, but all the painting which he did in Germany, which was probably over $25 million, he gave everything without exception to charity. Even the painting which was sold for $1.2 million, there was one for $800,000, he never picked up even a dollar for himself. He gave the whole thing to different charities. So that's why I really believe the way which I look at his face and his heart and his the way of his thinking, I believe that he is the messenger of God, and I do believe on him.
Davood, a lot of people are speaking that they think they're speaking the truth. They say they're giving to charities. They say that they do so much good to the world. But I think inside they know they do this for a reason, mostly to make their lives a little better. You cannot find too many people who really just open their heart, open you are an artist, you can give your talent, you can give money, you can give to causes that are important for you. And like we heard from Ed, you know, you really are doing this from your heart and you don't look ever back. You just give and you are happy to be a giver. What type of charity is the most important for you? What cause is the most important? Do you have one or you have many?
Children are very important, because children are the future. And we can only have better world when we take care of our children, you know. And but for me, all the people, the older people, that they need us and they are like children, we must help them. We must help all the human beings, yes, all the people.
Then, you know, we know that, yeah, life starts from the being of children, the most open, beautiful human beings that can be the cleanest souls. And we talked a little bit before the show that you believe that, you know, mothers in an embryo already are creating the most pure, you know, human
Absolutely.
Beings. That then mother gives birth to the child and world takes over. And our responsibility, we have big responsibility to create the best human being. And you believe, And I believe, and I'm sure my friends believe, through the art, we can make the world being better place. What is your way that can just make the world better? How you think you will go about in the future? We know what you were doing before. We know, you know, about charity. What you are doing right now, what is the most important right now? What project you are working on? What you are painting to make this happen? Make world better place. Can you tell us?
I think with charity and with money, we can make the life for children or other people better. But this is not the whole, the solution. Solution is we must understand the brain and mind and soul of all the people. We must show the new way for people. People must learn in the other dimension thinking. You know, when the mothers teach the children as a child that we are all one, we are all same. When I want to say something. Human beings are members of a whole in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is affected with pain, other members uneasy will remain. If you've no sympathy for human pain, the name of human you cannot retain.
That's beautiful. Is this your words?
This is for sure about Rumi, but this is from Sa'di. Sa'di was 750 years ago. And
How you will bring this word, the beautiful words from 700 years ago, to today's world? How we can do this? How we can be part of this change, that world will be a better place? I know that we both agree the art, the paintings, the movement, the visuals, they bring the best of the people because they can interpret music, they can interpret paintings. And
For 500 years ago, in the time from Galileo Galilei, he speak about perspectivism and people cannot understand. The Inquisition want kill him because he speak about science, he speak about perspectivism. And the greatest master like Leonardo da Vinci, Raphael, Michelangelo, they came and show us the perfect perspectivism in art. And you know, when the people learn in three dimension thinking, then they do Renaissance in Europe. And we know Renaissance changed all the life for all the people. And little bit later, look, when in the time from Picasso and Salvador Dali, in World War II, people was in trouble, they was hunger, they kill each other. Then came Surrealism with Dali, with René Magritte, Max Ernst, and they teach us with our feeling, we can about something, we can do something, we can go to the future, and that change everything in this world. In psychology came Professor Freud, in different science came other people, and they bringing all the human for better life. But you know, the problem is we must learn thinking in infinite perspective, because
not about us, what the future is,
perspective of God is infinite. And only we must understand we are different color, we are different culture, we are different souls, and we must, but we are all one and unity.
Absolutely, we all agree with that. To me also, you touched very important part of what I think artistry is about. Most of artists are advanced. Like you said, they bring new movement into something that a lot of people do not understand. And the three-dimensional way of thinking is not only us, it's not only me, it's just you need to think about universe, you need to think about something more. But so many artists are not understood today. And they will be maybe understood, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we'll be looking back and say, oh, now I understand. Dali, Van Gogh.
Picasso say if in the next 200 years people understand me, yeah. I am happy.
Is this amazing? How hard it is to be an artist. I wish that all listeners who listen to us will just... I understand some artists maybe feel like they're arrogant, but sometimes they need to be, because if nobody understands, then you need to believe in yourself. And it's the hardest what artists can accomplish, to work and work and work and stop doubting that nobody ever will care about the art. And I think what really is missing right now in our culture is the focus on the art, on the music, on a classical bringing of the children, on the all this explanation that you are talking, what the art was and why change of the world came because of these many styles, many artists becoming our society, and we were changing because of what they gave a left in our Absolutely. Hands, and what we have maybe right now on the wall, or you are listening right now to the Chopin, we are still loving Warhol, we are loving, I have two lithographs of Dalí in my house, one very, very big, I do, and I know every time when I go up on the stage, although I don't have this lithographs right now from another reason, but I know how very important was for me to have in the most important place in my house this art, not because just spoke to me. I would never put
art
something.
Is, yes, is the food for soul.
Food for the soul. Because I know, Dr. DJ, I didn't give you any break to talk to our artists, but I know you are just one amazing human being. You create the beauty when it comes to people who just try to improve themselves. Also, I know that you do so much charitable work to just improve lives of the children who need your help, to just, all these things that they cannot get because they don't have money, you are helping also children for free, create the better faces, the better bodies. And, what do you think about art? What do you think about painting? What do you think, you're coming from Louisiana again. I am right now. We are in Dallas. And what is your touch with art on a daily basis?
Unfortunately, I don't have the talent of our guest, but I do like to take photographs, and they actually adorn the office. So art is, I think, part of everything that we do, and definitely in cosmetic surgery, art plays into part of what you're doing. You're trying to improve things and make them look better and make them appealing to other people. So it's definitely a part of everything that we have around there. I was kind of interested, though, for Davoud, and you had talked about Salvador Dali's passing really affecting you. What do you see today as being some social issues that are reflective in your current paintings?
Could you explain again what you mean by that?
Well, as I understand it, his crypto-realism is kind of bringing current social issues into the art world and expressing things that are going on in the world through art. And I was wondering what he was seeing today that he was expressing in his artwork.
Okay. Do you feel that it's something very important right now that is happening around the world that you need to put in your fingers, because we need to explain the way how you paint. You are painting with your fingers. You don't use brush. Yes.
Yeah, because I want... explain my heart, because my blood running in whole my body, in my brain, in my heart, in my all the body, and then when I touch the canvas, I can put all my energy there. I speaking with the colors, I speaking with my canvas, and when I paint, then the time and place is not more in existence. I am in a spiritual feeling. I am with the God. I am with all the human. I am with nature. And I am with the universe. And it is energy from universe came to me. And I put that of God. because I do that for today and tomorrow for humans. Yeah.
Then do you think that because, you know, of the warmth of your fingers, because you are touching the paintings, because you are touching canvas, because you have so much emotions, and are you running to canvas when you look maybe on TV and you see something really important, or you just read about something that happened in life? And I think Dr. DJ wanted to know if it's something that inspired you so deeply that you felt like, okay, middle of the night and morning, that's what I want to talk about. Maybe that's children. Maybe that's about war. Maybe that's about
everything.
You
this
have
is not in my control.
It's
I don't
in
know.
Your control.
Day, night, morning. When energy is in my inside and must come out.
Must come out.
Not more.
It's like animal you really cannot keep inside.
Yeah,
I love that.
Not more in my control.
We cannot forget. We cannot forget, because it's not often that we can see you live. And tomorrow we have very, very important event that I cannot forget to mention. Then in Hollywood, in Bessel, and we have your beautiful exhibition, yes, and will be, it's called Davut Rostai.
Yes.
The King of Cryptorealism presents Cryptorealism, the New Generation, okay? And it's tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yes.
You will be present. Many of your friends hopefully will come also. I know, yeah, we have a lot of friends coming, and then we can see your art and we can talk to you, touch little
absolutely
bit your
I
soul
am, yes,
and you will be there, you know, describing your paintings.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
Oh, that's really, how often are you trying to just be with people, for the people, in person? Are you the person who like to do this type of event, or you like to hide?
No, I love the people.
You love the
best
people.
Time in my life is when I am with people, you know, and because I feel we are all really one. They are all my family. Yes.
Then we also need to know where is Bessel. Restaurant is 6350 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, California, 90028. Confirmation is required. Then probably we need to call maybe. Oh, okay. We say that it's okay to come. It's okay. Ed, maybe you can describe us more, because I again want to mention tomorrow, December 11 at 7 till 11 p.m. in Bessel. 6350 Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood, California. We will have Davut and a lot of guests looking, yes, into your creations and talking to you. Did I miss something?
No, not actually. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that if anybody wants to buy anything at all at that time, he's going to be there and he's going to sign everything for them, and his signature worth millions of dollars.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That scares me. But all for the good cause, and I hope a lot of people will come. I have the book. I cannot forget about book, because I know that I am lucky to have one in my hands, and I know that tomorrow, next day, you'll get a lot of more from Germany, okay? But it's called Davut Rostai and the Manifesto of Cryptorealism. The book is a beautiful. Your picture on a book is just amazing. That's what I see in life. Obviously, you are very good, unusual looking man, and just mystique. I cannot find another word for it. Could you describe us how this book was written? We have so many amazing paintings, and I know not one person wrote the book about you.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you tell us
a bit more? Many different art historians, for example, Dr. Professor Hans Theodor Fleming, the friend of Picasso, Dali, he wrote in this book, Professor Dr. Manfred Dalek, Professor Peter Schutt, Professor Klein, they are all great art historians. And they explain about my art and they analyze cryptorealism. Yes.
Oh, I just hope people can see this book and a lot of people can purchase. Will be available in America? Can we purchase? Okay, Ed, tell us.
Yes, actually, we are receiving a lot of them from Germany. tomorrow we'll have this one for the people to see it. If anyone wants, they can order it, and hopefully they will receive it in 1 week.
Okay, when we can go and sign to receive the book if you want to purchase? In time of the exhibition, in time of the, in a gallery? When?
Yes, when they come tomorrow between 7 to 11, they will see the book, and anyone who wants to buy it, they will give us the order, and they will pay us, and they will receive it in less than 1 week.
That's lovely. And another question would be, website. You have a website, yes?
Yes.
Can we purchase from the website? Can
yes.
we just write? And what
yes.
is websites?
Actually, our website is Davud Rustayi. It's www.davudrustayi.com.
Okay, R-O-O-S-T-A-E-I. Okay, Davud. D-A-V-O-O-D. Then davudrustayi.com. And please, please, please trust me, people. It's so beautiful, so colorful, and just so dynamic, and I can only say, it's just really, really amazing. Anyway, another thing that I would like to mention, that you were a very good friend of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, all the family.
All the family. And I know you painted beautiful lithograph, yes?
I paint 100 paintings about Michael, and I paint his soul, his beautiful, great, great soul.
Yeah, another not understand artist that just died, and we think we didn't understand him well. And yeah, we lost him, obvious. And then you knew his family, you know his family.
Yes,
and
very,
you know, and my question would be, I know so many people have your paintings, and they're really big people who just enjoy your art. Could you mention a few of the names that your artists?
My paintings are in many different museums. For example, in Italy, Vatican, the Pope Johannes Paul II invite me. They have my painting in many different museums, in Germany, in England, in Netherlands, in White House, in around the world.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit about maybe future beautiful project that maybe we can do together.
Wow.
We want to include children, music, visuals.
Yes.
Paintings, and maybe children painting with their fingers, and something that you can teach them, something that you can leave for the children. And just, you speak so beautifully. To me, you are one of the best speaker that I ever heard. You know, way how you speak about art is like, I cannot stop listening. I just want more. And I'm so sad because we have few minutes left. And I know that for today, I need to say thank you for this beautiful interview. And I know we'll see you tomorrow. And obviously, I hope, you know, a lot of people will just touch your art. And if they cannot come and see, they hopefully they can purchase the book via your website. And obviously, they can go on Facebook, they can go to Accent On, all the links are there. And the next things will be, we'll come back a little bit to holidays feelings and holiday mood, because we have Dr. TJ Verrett, and we have very important things to talk about. Yes, Doctor?
I think so. Talking about some medical myths related to the holiday meals and holiday spirit.
Okay. We have this few myths, and I'm sure Davud has some questions and answers, maybe give us even an answer, you know. What about the turkey? We are eating a turkey, and everybody is very, very sleepy eating the turkey. Is this the truth or not? What do you think, Davud? When you eat turkey meat, are you going to sleep fast or not? Do you think?
I don't know.
Do you like turkey?
You know,
Do you eat meat?
I love turkey when it's not die, when it's in life.
Oh, you are so sweet. I'm talking about food right now. We are talking about holidays. We are talking with Dr. DJ Verrett is talking about medical myths.
Oh, yeah.
And medical myths, we are today saying, is this the truth that when people eat certain type of food, they try to go sleep fast, like turkey? What do you think, Ed? When you eat a lot of food, especially turkey dinner, Thanksgiving, are you going to actually, sleep fast?
No, I'm sorry, I cannot even go to sleep if I eat too much. That's what.
Oh, and you don't eat turkey though?
I do eat turkey. I love it, but I have to eat just a little bit, and I lack only dark part.
Oh yeah, me too. What about you, Stephanie?
I don't think that you get tired because of the tryptophan in the turkey. I think you maybe get tired because your belly is so full that all the blood is there.
Oh, okay, Dr. DJ, you tell us. I really think something is there about eating the meat, the holiday meat that really is in Turkey, I hope, you know, that makes me sleepy. What do you think?
Well, and the answer is turkey actually doesn't make you sleepy. I heard the correct explanation in the audience there. Stephanie was absolutely right.
The
thought behind it is that turkey has a chemical called tryptophan in it. Tryptophan is an amino acid, and when it makes it all the way to the brain, it does make you mellow and sleepy. But the amount of tryptophan in turkey is about the same that's in ground beef and several other meats, and whenever you eat turkey as part of an entire meal, the same transporters that take that tryptophan from your stomach to your brain also take other amino acids, and so that tryptophan is actually fighting with the other amino acids to actually make it to the brain. So you're not getting that much tryptophan to the brain. Mm-hmm. More than likely, being sleepy after a meal is either because you have a large meal, a lot of carbohydrates in it, or probably have a little bit of alcohol to go with it, and that's actually what's making you sleepy.
Okay, the next question is very interesting, and I know that David will probably like this question. You like coffee?
Yes.
Oh, are you drinking a lot of coffee? Because every artist drinks coffee. And Persian coffee, oh my gosh, amazing. Yeah. Are you making your own coffee in home?
No.
What type of coffee you are drinking? Like you take a spoon and just put inside the hot water? Okay, yes. You are the same what I'm doing. Okay, but we need to know if coffee cures a holiday hangover, which means I think coffee cures everything. For me, I have like 8 cups of coffee, and I know Dr. DJ said that's crazy, but I really drink coffee like this is water. And I'm hyper without coffee too, but
true.
I never have hangovers because mostly I don't drink ever. But tell me, who drinks? Who tells me if coffee is good for drinking and hangovers? Ed, coffee, are you drinking coffee?
Yes, I do, but actually I do believe that it's good for hangover.
Okay, what about Davu?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. What about Stephanie,
the
tiny
girl? I don't
drink,
I wouldn't know.
Okay, now let's talk to Barbara. You're a fun little girl. And do you think coffee is good for hangover?
I would say so. It definitely wakes you up.
Okay, Dr. DJ, can you tell us?
Coffee, there actually is no cure for a hangover. And coffee won't help you out at all, unfortunately.
Okay, no aspirin?
No. You know, there was actually a study published fairly recently in the British Medical Journal, which looked at a whole bunch of different myths that are out there. Aspirin, coffee.
Cold shower?
The only thing that was found to a cold shower, actually, I think was on the list. The one thing that was found to help somewhat with some of the symptoms was an amino acid called gamma-levulinic acid. And that's actually available over-the-counter at Whole Foods or GNC at supplement supply stores.
Except we'll never learn this word.
It decreases the symptoms a little bit, but nothing actually cures a hangover, unfortunately.
Oh, just let's not drink to this point that we need to have hangover. I think that's the best,
Not even the Red Bull?
Red Bull?
Red Bull's good for nothing.
The metal in your mouth. Okay, eating large meals at night causes weight gain. I think I know this answer. You will say to me, doesn't matter, because whatever you put in your stomach makes you fat. That means if you eat in the middle of the night or at morning, you just don't eat too much, then you are not fat. Okay, what do you think, Devu? Do you think that you gain more weight when you eat at night?
Yes.
You think so. Okay, what about you, Ed?
I do believe that you eat. Actually, since I never have any lunch, No, I never have, I'm sorry, no supper. That's why I try to keep in shape. But what, I do believe it makes you fat if you eat at night.
What time is your last meal?
4 o'clock.
No, what about dinner? Then we will go one day together.
No,
you
will
like eat nothing?
Then I have no lunch if you invite me for dinner.
Oh, they're skipping meals. Doctor will say that's not healthy. But okay, we'll see. What about you, Miss Barbara?
I would say absolutely you gain weight.
Okay, what about you, Stephanie?
I have a feeling he's going to say there's no medical basis, but I feel like I gain weight if I eat late
at night. Okay, doctor, tell us. No eating at night or doesn't really matter? I go to bed at 4 in the morning. I'm hungry at 4. And then I have pills that I need to take.
No eating within about 2 to 3 hours of bedtime. There are actually a couple of studies to show that late night snacks or meals do cause weight gain, especially in already overweight people. And interestingly, it affects your sleeping patterns at night. It causes less organized sleep if you are eating late at night.
Oh, gosh. What is late at night when I don't sleep at night? Then where is my night? I don't have night.
Well, it's about 2 or 3 hours before you go to sleep. So if you're going to bed at 4 a.m., as long as you get your last meal by 1 or 2, you're okay.
That's what I do. Okay, I like that. Okay, next question. Okay, you gain weight during the holidays. Of course. We all eat like little piggies. Then we must be fatter. I think so. What about you, David?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel like your pants are what's happening, Okay. Yes, I don't use any more jeans in the holidays. I just use only dresses and stretch dresses. It's like, I'm fine. But yes, I eat a lot, then must be. Okay, what about you?
Actually, I try to control myself. The only thing the only thing I cannot control myself is ice cream. Sometimes even for supper, if I have nothing, I have 4 big scoops of ice cream.
Vanilla? What type of ice cream?
Mainly vanilla.
Mainly vanilla? Okay, what about you, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, I've gained weight, but this year I'm keeping away from all white flour and sugar.
You good girl. That's what I like so much. Okay, what about you, Stephanie?
I think you definitely gain weight, but I counteract it by losing weight before Christmas, so I end up where I started.
Out. I like that. Okay, I don't know. I just eat when Christmas comes, and I cook, and I eat, and I just love it, and I threw out my scale. I said, forget it. This makes me so angry every time when I step on. I'm like, why? Why do I need to have it? Throw out. Okay, doctor, are we fatter after Christmas?
Yes.
Actually, the answer is no. There are several studies which looked at folks during the 6-week period from Thanksgiving to New Year's and took weights of people and found no significant difference in the weight over fairly large populations of people.
Okay, then let's eat everything. And when it comes to the lunch at dinner, you know what you say, Ed? You can eat.
I love that.
Holidays,
thank you,
can
you
eat
doctor.
Ice cream, doctor. We love you. You gave us so beautiful things to think about. Last question. Eating large meals at night. Oh, we talk about this. Causes weight gain. That's what we talk about this right now. Yes? Ingestion after a meal is something you ate. Of course.
Indigestion.
Oh, again. My English accent on.
You're ingesting your food and it might cause indigestion.
Oh, gosh. Repeat the please. Doctor, we talk about this to not use uncomfortable words for me. You know that Ilonka cannot pronounce certain things. Okay, then again. Ingestion after a meal is something you ate. Indigestion? How you speak? Can you repeat this word? Indigestion? Stephanie.
Indigestion.
Okay. I think yes, because when I eat something spicy, I think I will pay for that at morning for sure. Then you tell us, doctor.
Actually, no. Indigestion usually is due to other things going on, either stomach ulcers, excess gastric acid, stress, smoking, alcohol. Usually not so much what you're eating. So don't worry so much about the actual meal as much as how fast you're eating it and other things that may be going on in your life.
Then I'm going to doctor tomorrow because obviously I have indigestions a lot. And I always thought because of the spice food or something sour that I ate. But looks like this is all about stress. 2013, normal stress for everybody. Okay, doctor, we love you. Thank you. Did I miss something? Do we have any? Stephanie shows it's just over for today. We love you all, Doctor. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week. And we'll talk about holidays, probably, meals again. Thank you, Davood. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Ilona Europa. Thank you, Doctor, DJ, and John Johnson again. Feel better. We miss you so much.
Yes. Thank you all.
Hug and kiss and to beautiful holidays time for everybody.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.